message. I was thinking about seed. And talking about that seed hitting obstruction and working around. And I preached a message not too long ago at our church about sleeping seed and rotting seed. And I thought about when I was preaching that message that how the strangest thing to me is how you can blacktop a parking lot like that and watch a little old dandelion or something just sprout and work its way right through it. And you just touch it and it's a spindly little thing. But ain't nothing going to stop it when the Lord causes something to happen. When I was saved, there was nothing to stop me from coming forward and professing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Appreciated the message. I can't say much for his marriage part of the first of that. I'm a little worried about him. I got a room at my house, an extra bed if you need one tonight, Brother Grigsby. But we'd like to remind you also of our conference at West Milton. We have a conference that's June 26th, 27th, and 28th this year. And you can mark that on your calendars, and we invite you to come. And we bring you greetings from our church. And we pray that the Lord would bless the rest of this conference. We've enjoyed all the messages thus far. Been real great preaching. And we pray it continues. The Lord be with us. In John chapter 2, the title of this message is Cleansing the Temple. Cleansing the Temple. In verse 1, we're going to read this entire chapter, if you'll just bear with me. It's only 25 verses, so we'll try and read through it. It says, in the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when the men have drunk well, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested both his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brother and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to the temple, and they found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the money changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and thou wilt rear it up in 3 days. But he spake of the temple of his body. When he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when Jesus was at Jerusalem at Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name because they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And that last verse is really what I want us to focus on. He knew it was in man. But I wanted us to look at this, how Jesus, when you think about this water, and he knew it was in man, but what Christ knew, in the very beginning, he knew what was in the bottles. And he knew it was in the water. He knew it was in the temple. And as we read there in verse 25, he knew it was in man. I looked at this water and I thought, I don't know if it was for me, and I thought about taking a drink out of it, but there's been a whole lot of talking and spitting over it, so I'm not really sure that I want a drink out of that. Been there a while. But you know, I remember when I was in biology class, I think it was 8th grade, teacher took a glass of water. Boy, it looked as clean as that. And she took a little thing and she dripped it on a little slide. And she put that on the slide, and it was my introducing to a microscope, you know. She put that water under that microscope, and every kid getting a chance to look at that and look at them, they're going, oh, whoa. I remember when my turn came, I could look in there and things were running all over the place in there. And I thought, man, made me never want to drink water again. I had to laugh thinking about that because Jordy Graber understands that. He was drinking water out of Beaver Creek down there, and he ended up thinking that was nice, clean water, and spent a whole night, I think, vomiting out his insides because of them things that run around in that water. But you see, the Lord knows what's in the water. Amen. Oh, there's a big contrast in the marriage feast and the temple here, but there's also two similarities. At the marriage feast, Jesus was an invited guest. He was welcome there. At the temple, he was really there, an unwelcome stranger at a place he called his father's house. Oh, when we look at the fact that there's two similarities and there's two differences in these two things that are discussed in this chapter, we find in one place a miracle of grace and the other of judgment. One place we see where our need is supplied, and he supplied a need. There was a need of wine, and Jesus supplied it. In the other place, in the temple, the depravity of man, and also in the water. Oh, what was in the temple? Jesus called it his father's house, a place where the cloud once was over, where God's presence was, a place where everything in it was set apart for worship. A place of prayer. A place, no doubt, where people got close to the Lord. But now what had become of his father's house? It had become a place of commerce. Oh, and today, I see churches and I can drive by them. And I drove around this town a lot. And all the driving that I used to do, sometimes I drove 75,000 miles a year. I drove a lot. But I'd drive by churches and I'd see bake sales and car washes and everything else going on outside to raise money. And then I think of the day that I stood there with a man, much my senior, standing behind his church and looking at the property and saying, boy, you got a lot of land here if you ever had to build a bigger building or add a parking lot or whatever you needed to do. And he said, well, we're going to build us a daycare out back because, you know, daycare can support a church. And I thought, oh, what do I say? And I said, well, the best thing would be if we just taught our wives to stay home and take care of the children. Amen. And then we wouldn't have to have a daycare. And we wouldn't have those things. Oh, but you see, there's so many things that have entered into our churches. Today, churches have become bustling businesses instead of a house of God. Reverence for what should be taking place is gone. The temple has become defiled. The temple first by those professing to be followers of God and not possessors of the Holy Spirit. Although somebody talks about goats, and there's certainly, I believe, too many goats that we want to see people join the church so bad, you know, that we almost twist their arms to get them to confess and be baptized. But look with me in Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, and because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage. Now I know what was going on here. The church of Galatians, they were trying to get them to keep the law. They were trying to bring in that you had to work to keep yourself saved, basically. But you know what it says? False brethren brought in unawares. They were brought in unawares. You don't bring them into the family of God. God adds to the family of God.
That's right.
They were coming into the church at Galatia. They had those that were there that were not saved. False brethren brought in. And then Jude, it tells us that it was before ordained that some of these were, well, let's just read it in Jude verse 4, where I don't try and misquote it. Jude verse 4, it says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when you think that gimmicks and entertainment centers are going to do it, you're denying the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the temple had become defiled by allowing what? The world inside. Lost inside. Man's ideas. Inside the temple. You know, I get to the airport, travel a little bit. I get to the airport, and you know what I see? The airport has become a place that just caters to everything. You got people traveling through airports from all over the world, and you can go to the money exchange there, and you can change your pesos in for dollars or your euros in for yen, or you can do whatever you want at the airport. And you know, that's what had happened at the temple. They had people coming from all these other countries, and they're coming there, and they happen to buy their doves or their sheep or whatever, and they had to have money changers, and they had to have those that were just making it into a business. But that was no doubt the idea of man. But compromise. Well, what could be wrong with a daycare? The wisdom of man. What could be wrong with junior church? What could be wrong with just a car wash? Get the young people together. Get them out there with the girls not dressed right and get them all wet in front of everybody. Oh, the temple was defiled from within. From the things within. Look in verse 14 of our text. Verse 14, it says, and found in the temple, not even on the outside, but in the temple, found in the temple, those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changers. You know, I bet they started out on the outside. No doubt they probably started out on the street, started out down the block, worked their way right in. They worked their way right in the temple. Oh, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We know these verses, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Oh, you know, not the knowledge of God. You've got to be careful who you listen to. You know, I get there being first-time pastor, it's amazing to me how many phone calls I get. I feel sorry for Brother Randy. All the years that it phoned. You know, we got four phones in our home. It's a disaster some days. I mean, I got two cell phones and the church phone, another phone. Some days it'll almost two or three be ringing at the same time. Yeah. And I somebody's trying to sell me a way to grow the church. Yeah. Trying to sell me a plan on church building seminars. I had a recording the other day, and it was a man just telling me, you call me back and I'll tell you how to have a pre-recorded message that you can send out and for Easter Sunday, and that it'll reach every home in your area, just automatic, you know, it's computer dialing what it is. And I thought, and he said, call me back. And I told my wife, I said, I wonder how much money he's charging for that program. If he really believed in it and he really thought it was the work of the Lord, he'd just be sending it to me free. Right. But you see, there's money changers involved. Church building seminars, bus programs. There's nothing wrong with having a bus as long as the motive is right. Amen. I'm even scared to death of vacation Bible school only because I grew up in it. I'll tell you what I've seen wrong with it. You, brother, do what you want to do. But I grew up in it, and I seen crafts and entertainment. That's what I remember as a child in an Armenian church. And you know what else I saw? I saw no men there. I saw women leading singing, women preaching, women doing everything. Because it's in the summer, you know, and it's during the day, and all the men are working. Oh, be careful of these things. Amen. In Psalms 106, verse 35, But were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. So you look at the other church, look at everybody else, and what all they're doing. Well, they're look at the success they're having. They learned their works and served their idols, which were a snare unto them. But what kind of worship takes place in a defiled temple? Look with me over in Isaiah chapter 29. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth, and their lips do honor me, you know what, lip service. I've heard that for the longest time, and you know, and here it is. They give me lip service. You know, they speak well of me. The Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth, and their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. The idea of men. What's men's idea? God is so weak, and you know, we got to do just like, you know, the fear of the idea of men is being taught instead of what God says about them. Their fear is taught toward me, taught by the precepts of men. Oh, we got to be careful of the precepts of men and lip service. And we know this verse in Timothy 3:5, where 2 Timothy says, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. The power, the authority. You know what it comes down to today? No one wants any authority over them. Don't tell me how I'm going to have to live my life. Don't tell me what I should do or what I should not do. They want to claim to be a child of God. They want to claim to be a Christian, but they want to deny the authority or the power over their life. Look in Ezekiel chapter 33, the condition of the temples. Ezekiel chapter 33. Verse 31, it says, and they come unto thee as my people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth, lip service again, with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. I'm going to do what I want anyway. I don't care what he preaches. I don't care what the church thinks. Oh, yeah, I'm saved, but I question that. Their mouth goeth after their covetousness. And thou art unto them as a very lovely song, and one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on the instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. People come to church, well, that was a good message. Got all over my toes. And then go out and just keep doing it. Don't change a thing. Why? They deny the power thereof, the authority. They live in their own arrogance and selfishness, and they don't want to serve the Lord in humility. But I want you to notice here how the temple was cleansed. The temple was cleansed by the incoming of the Master himself.
Amen.
When Jesus came in, he drove out the defilers. His presence and His power is what cleansed the temple. Oh, when I think of that, I think about Brother Hancock preached a message on Lazarus. And it just made me just, when I heard him preach it, when he called and said, Lazarus, come forth. And then when Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I mean, when a child of God is saved, Satan has to let go.
Yeah.
Jesus, when he came into the temple, them people, here he was. You know, he's not that long-haired, meek man, you know. I mean, he drove them out. One man. Driving out all these money changers and flipping their tables and their everything over. When he comes into the temple, he drives out the defilers.
Amen.
These two incidences, the marriage with the water to wine in the temple, show us two similarities. Jesus refers to the temple there is his body. He said, I'll destroy this body and raise it up. He was referring to his own body. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, we know this. It says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God and are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your temple. What's the condition of your temple? Oh, this temple, this body needs to be kept in a suitable condition for worship. Oh, it gets so defiled in this world. We need to be separated from this world, set apart for His use, cleansed from sin, purged from our desires and our wants. However, this cannot happen till the Master comes into the temple. No one can do that on their own. You can't drive the defiler out on your own. You can't purge the temple yourself. You are like that stagnant water in those bottles.
Yes.
Just full of corruption. You may look good, but you're full of corruption.
Amen, brother.
An outward cleaning of the body won't do it. You know that water was? That water was for the purifying. They would have that water there so the Jews could wash their hands and wash themselves all up. It really wasn't even, I don't believe it was drinking water. I think it was water for wash water. Water for that purpose. But look in Matthew chapter 23 what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 24, he said, "Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Well, they were so worried about that water, they'd pour it through some sort of a cloth, make sure they didn't get that bug floating on the top in it. Now, I don't know if they strained their wash water, but Jesus was saying, you guides, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Just washing up the outside ain't going to be enough. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful, but inward are full of dead man's bones and full of all uncleanness. You know, I had Brother Adams with us, and I took him to the cemetery. I like going to cemeteries. And I don't know why, I just do. I know, it's strange, but... Well, we were walking around, and they had these huge mausoleums. Just, you know, and there's one over here with glass in it. We can look in, you know. And we look in, and you could see the crypt caskets, you know, and the boxes, the vaults right there. And, you know, we could make that thing beautiful. You can do all you want, paint it all up, make that, and some of them are beautiful. But what's it then? Rotting and dead. And he said, our throat is like an open sepulcher. Before we're a child of God, what comes out of our throat is like the smell of a grave. Oh, what's the condition of your temple? An outward cleaning isn't going to do it. The master has to come in. That water that was not fit to drink by the master was made pure wine, which what? Lasts forever. Something he does never has to be redone. In John chapter 10, he says, I give unto them eternal life. And they'll never perish. I mean, what he does lasts. Salvation comes when Christ enters the temple. He purges, he purifies. He runs out the defiler and he cleanses from within and he makes that which was defiled pure. Old Brother Keller talked about how the Lord sees us. Man, that's just wonderful. That which he makes will last forever. I will in no wise cast out. What's the condition of your temple? Oh, we turn back to our text. Look at those last two verses. John chapter 2. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. There's not one of us here that he doesn't know and didn't know before. He said, let there be light. He knew everybody that would be here today. He knew every person and he knows every sin, every thought you've ever done. He needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knows the condition of every temple here, every body here. Oh, has Christ ever entered in? That's really the problem, I think, a lot of times with our churches. We've got people on the roll that aren't even saved. Has Christ ever entered in and cleansed your temple? And then have you allowed the world to pollute your body and your mind? I think it was Brother Jones mentioned something about Vegas. We know it was in Vegas. Well, I had the first time in my life to ever go to Las Vegas a month or so ago. I don't ever want to go back. I found at my motel room, I couldn't even get to the rest. First of all, I couldn't get to my motel room without walking through the casino. That's the way it was designed. And then I couldn't get to the restaurant without walking through the casino. I couldn't go anywhere the way they had that place designed without walking through it. And then you can't even take a ride down the street that the billboards on the cabs and the billboards in the city aren't just vile and corrupt. I was embarrassed, and I'm 47 years old, and I'm embarrassed at what I even had to ride behind and see on cars. Yeah. Call this number, and you can have a stripper sent to your room. Look at the newspaper racks all around the street, and there's filth all over them. It's the world we live in. Brother Adams and I, we went to a place that was for entertainment for young children, supposedly. We were going to take. I was trying to find a place for Sam to spend some of his dad's money. And we walked in, and first thing I said is, I said, man, this place is, I said, Brother Adams, this place is just catering to children to get them. It looked just like a casino, didn't it, brother? It was just disgusting. We walked through there and I said, come on, Sam, I'm sorry. Nothing here for us. Oh, but you know, we live in a day and age where it's all around us. A while back, my company, I don't know anything about computers. I struggle every day getting by, trying to get by with my job and secular world. But they told me a while back, they said, we need your laptop. I said, what do you need my laptop for? They said, we're going to have it re-imaged. And I said, well, I don't know what re-imaged is. And they said, but anything you want to save on that laptop, you better back it up to a disk, because when we're done with it, it's all going to be gone. And I looked at some of the stuff in there, and I, best I could, I backed it up and saved some things. Sure enough, when I got it back, it looked a little different. But I went in there, and all that stuff that was there was that I had done was gone. And then I thought, I wish I could do that with this temple. I wish I could just go back and just completely say, re-image it, wipe it clean. So everything that I've seen and everything I've touched and everything I've heard and everything I've done was gone. Young people, you can't do it. Whatever you do, you live with. Look with me in Philippians chapter 3. Brother Dan Gordon and I were talking this morning and got talking about Brother Dean Smith. I miss him. It's one of his favorite verses. Philippians chapter 3. And bear with me, I'll get there in a moment. But you know, there is going to be one day that not only will this mind be re-imaged, but this vile body will be re-imaged. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. One day I am going to get re-imaged. Oh. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things passed away. Can't find them. Gone. Oh, what's the condition of your temple? What's the condition of your church? What's the condition of the temples in your church? What's the condition of your own temple? In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Who are you kidding? He's never been in your temple. If you can walk out of here and you can go out and go into this world and you can partake of things and it not bother you, it not vex your righteous soul. I'll be honest with you, I just couldn't hardly stand it, motel. The place was filthy. I mean, not only filthy, just filthy, but the place was filthy. But it just bothered me. I couldn't hardly turn the TV on because the ads on the TV on my room were filthy. And then to try and study in that atmosphere. If you say that you have fellowship with him and that appeals to you, you walk in darkness. In James it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you don't have a desire to, if it doesn't bother you, oh, we got to fight the flesh. I understand that, but there should be that battle. If there isn't a battle, and that's where you'd rather be and what you'd rather do. Who are you kidding? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. Amen. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. He can take that's so vile. He can make it pure. Something that'll last forever.
Amen, brother.
If we say that we have no sin, oh, I've never got my temple polluted. We deceive ourselves. You can't walk out of this building and be out in that world 15, 20 minutes hardly that you don't get polluted. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't matter what. There's not, some things. He cleanses from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. What's the condition of your temple? What's the condition of your church? Oh, we need to have the Lord, the Master needs to enter in. He needs to come in and take control and drive out the defilers.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother.